Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. The Thrushes. This episode crushes.
What?
No.
Oh,
you're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Walking with a dead man. Welcome to the After Buzz After Show. I'm Joe. What's up? That scare you?
No,
I
gotta look at Spagnus over here.
Oh!
I can't do it.
Welcome to After Buzz After Show, Blacklist.
Oh, that's a good look.
We are here. We are live. We are so late. But thank you. For those who are joining us live, who are patiently waiting for us, we are late. Mm. But we're here now. Marcella and Annapurna, Saha and Watson and a bunch of other stuff. We have dressed up.
Well,
we have all dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm Dembe.
Clearly.
Now, if you look at me,
I mean.
Julia has gone as Spagnus. Baby Agnes. Spy baby Agnes called Spagnus.
Spagnus, oh God.
I don't think Spagnus should have a little gun.
Yeah, of course Spagnus is packing. She comes from a family of spies. Right.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm hot.
A spy baby from the 1800s?
Well, that's all I have.
What else does that gun do, Joe?
Yes. Well, Julia brought a loaded cap gun into the studio. And I'm like, oh, this is neat. This is, and then it fired, and I'll, there it was.
It's there it goes.
Oh, it's and over there. How did it get there?
No,
a lot.
Oh my goodness, it's really hot in that blanket.
And Joe Flippo is Tom, is season one Tom.
I'm season one Tom.
Sensible sweater.
I gotta tell you.
And the glasses.
Season one Tom is very uncomfortable. These sweaters are itchy as hell.
Well,
I don't know.
It's a little colder. Yeah. It's a little colder in Washington than it is here in Los Angeles.
Right? Yeah. It's definitely not appropriate.
But you look very handsome.
You do.
Yeah, I like it.
No, I love season one Tom.
I was gonna go with either.
I don't want to wait.
Well, I couldn't figure it out. I looked online. I seriously actually you think I'm just doing a thing. I looked and researched Dembe, and he either has the pullover fleece, kind of like yours. I don't want to repeat you. He's got the black T-shirt. He's got the sweater. They got the puffy vest, and he's got the suit. And I don't know. I just wore the T-shirt.
So you just wore a T-shirt.
Hey, check out, I put a blanket over my head there, Spagnus.
I got a pacifier. Henceforth, a baby.
I think.
And a gun.
I think in our internal.
Baby.
I think in our internal.
What else do you want from me?
Our internal. Vote. Tell us online who wins our internal costume contest, folks.
Yeah.
I think it's me. Thank you.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I did spend $5.85 on these glasses at the Walmart.
Do you know how expensive these things are? And it
I
comes
do.
In a two-pack. I can't just get one. Right.
I have
it's
children.
It's like $6.50.
Yeah, welcome.
Happy Halloween. Happy pre-Halloween to all you guys. Thank you for joining us on the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. We're going to talk about this episode, The Thrushes, which I really liked, and I'm unapologetically liked. We're going to talk to our good friend Jody Walker a little later on. Bring her in a little earlier this time. And lots to talk about. Lots stuff happened. We have some resolution here. We had some. I don't have any questions were answered per se, but we have some resolution of some sort. I mean, and we actually have a legitimate blacklister, which again, not an individual, but another group, just like the Lindquist concern and the Thrushes.
Mm-hmm.
What number was the Thrushes?
53.
I like the Thrushes. First of all, I want to say this episode. The opening, actually, like the pacing of this episode was great. It was directed by my man, Terrence O'Hara, and who's in a lot, is a very competent director, but it really flowed. I love that this opened, for me, the opening in the boardroom with all the powerful sort of white dudes around, like looking very serious and criminal looking guys, and the guy telling him that he's going to do the thing. I love that all day long.
I love that
guy. Next to the big board,
I love a
room full of powerful dudes.
I love that dude, the guy they cast,
yeah,
and I didn't
great.
Look up.
Oh, he was wonderful.
Yeah.
I didn't
he
look it up.
In,
I didn't have time.
And he was just there was no blinking. There was not. Oh, he was smooth, man.
Yeah. He's great.
He was good.
Like,
he was
give him $160 million for your hunter. Yeah, of course you will.
His name is. I don't know. Never mind. That's the hunter. I'm still looking for him.
Okay.
Good.
You know who I love? Just I'm going to skip ahead here. Who I just came to had a come to Jesus moment. When I realized I have a giant crush on, is Cynthia frickin' Panabaker.
I love her.
I love her.
She's incredible.
I don't know why I have a crush on her. Is that southern charm?
You've got a little crush, do you?
I do.
Ooh. Well, you know the bear and the poke and the thrushes in the bushes and throw a rock at the chicken and chicken hopped all over the rig. What? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I
have no idea what you're saying.
I do not. But Panamaker might.
Panamaker. Yeah, that was a funny little scene.
Is it like, is it Virginia? What has she got going on there? Is it a Virginian accent? Is it like a, she's got something on her? She's a little older. Maybe, probably the same age, actually. But she's a little older. That Pan, I love her. Anyway, I digress. What did you guys think of this episode?
I loved this episode, actually. I found it to be extremely satisfying. I thought the pacing was on point. I love any episode that features our man, Aram Amir. We love him very much.
Oh, yeah.
He was incredible in this episode. He really ran the gamut of emotions, you know?
I forgot to call him this morning.
And
I
was call him. You should have.
Because I'm a dope. I'm going to call him, but I'm like, can you come on? I did that to poor Jody. Jody, can you come on? And like 2 minutes before.
Called Amir.
I should have called. I'm going to call Amir next week.
But he really
Not that we don't love Jody, because Jody's amazing.
We do. but no, he definitely ran the gamut. He was in love. He was panicked. He was pissed. He was terrified. He was in love again. He was like triumphant.
Yeah. And,
I mean, I absolutely loved every moment that he was on screen today.
He was terrific.
The other realization I had in watching the show, especially with the Aram stuff, is that, man, I really care about these characters. I like, especially Aram. And the Bobby.
We like, yeah.
Even though wrestler's grown on me. He's
he's
like a big brother. He's putting everyone in loogies.
he's like a big brother from 1956.
Yeah, he's coming in. Like, he's like, over here.
Chet, you're kind of a dick.
Yeah, totally. I totally get that, yes.
I knew she was too hot for him.
Right?
Oh, wrestler.
Let me just ask you guys a question, because neither of you have said this. That's just three little words. And I would just like to hear them from one of you.
Uh-oh.
Because I predicted last week that Ron's boyfriend was not to be trusted. I predicted last week.
You were white.
Ooh.
Yes. Yes, wow. Nicole. You were and are still white.
You're so proud of yourself.
I am so...
You're white.
It's like written over and over and over. I want acknowledgement.
If those of you on YouTube wondering what the hell Flippo's writing all the time over and over and over again, it's you are right.
To himself. You were right.
To me.
Very proud of himself.
So there's no confusion.
About what, Flippo?
Look, I called Aram's girlfriend last week. I said, this is the leak. I didn't say this is the leak. I said, not to be trusted. I didn't trust her. And then I don't remember who it was that jumped on last week on the YouTubes.
Everyone did.
And said, she's the leak. Duh.
Yeah, everyone jumped on, like, Flippo, you're right. I'm with you, Flippo. We love you, Flippo.
Why you gotta make them sound Flippo. Silly when they say intelligent things like Flippo was right, and you gotta make them sound silly? That's just not right. I respect our fans.
I love them. Appreciate you guys. I love all of you guys.
I liked it when we had them up there.
I know it was nice because he couldn't filter out and tell us we're wrong.
Steven, can you put our chat up there so everyone can see except for me?
Please. Thank you.
So I'm not filtering anything out. Flippo doesn't get all the credit. Thank you, Anasapulohosaha.
I don't need all of it. I just need at least more than these two.
Speaking of names that I can't pronounce, when Dembe, how do you pronounce Dembe's real name? Hakim Flakahoa?
I think that's phonetically correct.
That sounds great.
Yes.
It's Hashim Twafik.
Okay.
That sounds right.
Here's the thing about Dembe. Fun fact about Dembe.
Bring it.
Dembe was a station chief in Harlem at a fire department for 20 fucking years.
Oh, there you go.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Well, I didn't know anything. Why would I know anything?
I knew.
Thank you for your service, Dembe.
Yeah, man.
Holding it down in Harlem for 20 years as a station chief.
He's not effing joke.
I'm going to act in a hit show.
Why not?
Yeah, I almost wore a fan favorite on top of it. Anyway, let's get into this episode. So we have
wore a fire hat.
So I almost did. Oh, thank you very much, Steven. Now we can see.
Yay.
Yes, Hashim Tawfiq. Thank you. Flippo all the
way. Watson Keen knows what's happening. That's all I'm saying.
So let's get into this episode. So we have. So we have a lot of double blind, double crossing, misdirection, kind of like grifter ish. You know, David Mamet style stuff happening.
If you look at my notes when it comes to Lizzie and Red, it was like, you know, quoting some of the things, the 6 degrees of separation. Lizzie's pissed, so petulant, has a little quip after every line, and then it's like, oh, fake. Oh, wait, not.
Yeah.
Like, it was getting a little difficult to keep it straight. I enjoyed it.
I did like it because every time I was like, Lizzie, she's crying, I'm doing that thing. And then I was like, oh, it was an act. And then like, or was it?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it wasn't. But it gives Lizzie some credibility because I'm sick of her being the, you know, I've never lied to you. Yeah, well, still. Like, I'm sick of it.
6 degrees of separation.
So, my man,
I'm cozying up to that snake.
There it is. Hey, who are you, Lizzie or Spidey the Agnes?
I can do it all day. Well, now I'm Lizzie.
Who are you?
Now I'm Lizzie. Now I'm not going to be Lizzie.
What's my man's name? I can't. LeBron. That's right. Rene LeBron. Patrick Page is the actor.
Oh, cool.
So Rene LeBron is holding this wonderful meeting, telling everyone that, like, you know, when the government sees your assets, I can loan it back to you at a price. This is how you keep your criminal operations going. They go in and totally wipe him out with a cool, like, Asian dude and some cool henchmen, a la the crazy 88s from Kill Bill in the elevator.
Yeah.
Take them all out. Bag them.
Snap.
And then bring them to Red, and Red's in a car. That's the way you open a show, goddammit. I love that.
Oh,
open.
I loved it.
I love that open. And then, of course, we find out that Red's behind it. He's informing the FBI as to what's going on. And then they trot him out there to get transported, and boom, he gets shot in the head. We find out that this is all a setup.
Yeah.
Red's cold-blooded.
Yeah.
Cold-blooded.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed all that. I really enjoyed that, the way that whole thing went down, except for my man getting capped in the head. And then I like the idea of the invitation to the old-school suite, you know, with the old-school carousel with the slides upside down. And the guy was like, mm-hmm. Crappers! Crappers! Crap! No, I thought that was neat. I like crappers. And
did he say crappers?
He said crappers. Well, then he said crap.
I believe you. I'm not.
So then they, this is still an effort to really get to Kirk. The whole thing is they're trying to, you know, flush out Kirk through Liz, and they have to get Kirk to trust Liz, and to do so, they have to let Kirk believe that Liz really wants to see him, because she believes he's her father and wants information. What the show doesn't really tell us is how much of that is really, really, really true on Liz's part, and how much of that was like just an act to get Agnes back. And then and I'll turn over to you guys, but in that moment where that quiet moment with Tom, and she's like, am I doing the right thing? I don't know. Are you? I don't know what is right anymore. We now know that was because she actually told Red and set up the trap. But like, where do you think, I'll ask you both, where do you think Lizzie's, is she really conflicted? Where is she on this?
I think she is really conflicted because she does wholeheartedly believe that Kirk is her father, which may or may not be true. But she's so easily turned one way or the next way, depending on what little bit of information she gets. And now her new thing is, I'm going to be the one who gets my biological father shot, and I'm going to send him to prison. How's that make me feel as his daughter? It's like, hey, come on. You just met the guy. He's done nothing but wrong to you.
A, international criminal.
Yes!
B, nothing but bad to you.
Nothing but bad.
C, you just met him. And he's like, but he's my dad.
But he's my daddy.
Red, I know you've saved me at every turn, and you've been loyal, and you've been wonderful to me and protected me at every turn, but this guy's my
dad. But he's my dad. He was the key to my entire past.
What do I do? You lock him up.
I just.
And I'll never see him again. Oh, that threw me over the edge.
Right.
But I actually enjoyed her in this episode.
She was
I
good.
Have to say it.
She
I
was
enjoyed
good.
Her.
I think she was good.
What relax, about you, Flippo? That's the best face he's ever made to me.
I thought Megan Boone and Lizzie were good in this episode.
Yes, I did too.
I had no problems with them.
No, Lizzie has a character with Lizzie. I had no problems with Megan Boone this episode.
Megan Boone was good, right?
Yeah.
She even threw out that little Russian on us, like, you know?
Yes.
She said, Papa, je film das vidanya. Like,
oh, Jesus.
You like that part, right?
No, you were very good.
Like, oh, me?
Oh, it was great.
Das Vidanya.
It's like the wrongest thing ever.
Das Vidanya.
I know bad words in Russian, and that's it.
All right, go ahead, Joe. Tell us why it all sucks.
No, I'm not saying it sucks. I don't think anything sucks. I just have the toughest time. They write her into these corners. I have a very difficult time with the character. I've said this for months and months and maybe even years at this point. I feel like they do her such a disservice because the way they write her, and I don't know if it's a matter of expedience or if it's a matter of choices that are made on the floor. I really don't know, but they write her in such an unlikable way. Like the choices that she makes, you just want to fucking climb a wall. And I have a difficult time empathizing with her, and it's gotten to the point now where I will stop the show and yell at the ceiling and then hit play again. However, this time she got me. She got me because I thought she was crashing the plane again when she called Alexander Kirk, and I was you know, that was nice. That was nice that she was not crashing the plane. But I really do feel like that there's a real disconnect between the writing staff and what they could do with this character and what they choose to do. I just I don't know.
I feel like human choices might be.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like there's just such a, they're just writing her into these corners that are just wrong.
I think she's doing it. I mean, I think they have. I feel like this episode is pretty clean. Like, now they're going to go start their life. It's all over. You know, the baby's safe, and now her and Tom go start a life, and Red can go his own way, and the show's over.
That's it.
That's it. I doubt it.
We got 47 more episodes this week.
You know, Angusapurlasaha. Why I can't pronounce a name to save my life, even Dembe's. She brought up a good point about my girl Odette, the other character who I love, the new Odette, which is apparently Alexander Kirk's Constantine.
Oh, I like
henchwoman. She has this bit where she's like, you know, the seeds of doubt that you planted in Lizzie.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. What does that mean?
Seeds
right?
of doubt. Mm. But he's like, well, he knows that I'm her father. But his seeds of doubt about what?
I think the seeds of doubt about Red.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Mm. All right.
All right. I'll buy it.
That's what I think.
Maybe.
But anyway, we got through that. But let's get a little bit into the aroma of it all, because it was obviously... we get a little more insight into that relationship.
I think I had a little crush on Aram.
You know, he was cool in this episode. Took off his shirt a couple times.
Doing some push-ups, doing some sit-ups. Working, paying off.
He's doing his thing. I'm not mad. I'm not mad at him at all. So it's definitely very much an Aram episode. He had a lot to do and a lot of character stuff to do, and I think and a lot of range in his acting and everything
else.
But I think the whole Navir, the whole Navabi, thank you, Navabi Aram thing is like, I think it's as sweet as hell.
Yeah,
I love it.
Oh, that little kiss she gave him, and I loved it
I can't get enough
when they found out. And they were going to hide it from him. She's like, just give me 5 minutes of interrogating her.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, give it to her.
Or she's like, I'm going to mess that bitch up. Uh-huh. She's like, oh.
They better get there before I do, because I'm going to, that was
beautiful. I'm going to F that bitch up. And I was like, oh.
But yeah. I loved it all. And I was like, really?
Little moment, that little scene with the two of them in the spy van.
Very sweet.
I don't know what else you would call it.
It's spy van.
That's a technical term.
Spy van seems right. I thought so. It was very sweet. It was very genuine, and I think it will definitely move the relationship forward. That little kiss she gave him.
Yeah.
When he said, I'm not like you, and I was like, oh, we're getting deep.
Yeah, I love all that. And, well, just backing up a little bit before that. So, when they realized, what part of banana?
You understand.
I understand. That's so great. The little taco tacos. Name at the end was sweet. I did love the whole setup that, you know, that when they found out it was actually her, I like the fact that they set this up that, well, you know, Aram doesn't know and how we can't tell Aram and blah, blah, blah. And Aram, of course, being super smart, had already figured the whole damn thing out. And he was genuinely distraught about the whole thing. And
then
then came to his own conclusion that he had to go in and make it work.
Of his own. Whabang!
I think all that was a sort of well read.
Quack, quack, bitch.
This was a very tight script. I think this was very well written. This is a very well written episode of television. I think all the parts were like well put together, and I like the way that they presented it as one way. Aram came to it on his own. As corny as that whole sting operation was, I liked it. It did give me some tension when Aram was like, "I don't know."
When he was a gerbil on meth.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was my favorite. That was funny. My favorite.
Did you think they were? I thought they were going to do it, and poor Navabi would have to listen to him, you know, doing it.
Oh, Aram couldn't go through with
that.
No
way.
No.
Not with her listening. He knew.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with anybody else. That was only her.
Aram is a trained field agent. He ain't got no moves though. Like, she's whooping his ass.
You know what? I liked her. I liked the actress, and I didn't look her up either. She was terrific. Yeah. I bought it. Like, the way she played it out, like, that she was like, you know,
she's good too.
And she didn't do it like the 70s James Bond villain used to do back in the day. It was like, she played it like they were in a real thing, and I bought her all the way.
Well, before we get to sort of the end of this episode and some other plot points, some major plot points, I want to invite our good friend Jody Walker into the conversation. Jody, are you on the line? You've been there the whole time? Listening to us.
Hello, friends.
Hi, Jody.
Is everybody dressed up for Halloween?
Yes, we were. See us.
Well, he's still is.
We are.
Flip still is. I took my pacifier out.
Mostly just me now.
You can't see us, but if you there's a live feed on YouTube, but if you check out us out on YouTube, you'll see that I am in a dead effing ringer for Dembe.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Are you in a puffer vest?
No, I didn't puffer vest. I'm in a black t-shirt and a black face.
AKA what you wear every week here.
And I shaved my head for the occasion, and I got really handsome.
Nailed it.
Julia was Agnes, spy baby Agnes Spagnus. She has a pacifier and a and what was supposed to be like a bonnet.
Well, it was more
I
like
thought
a
you were
going to
say she's spy baby Agnes, so she's just not there at all. <She's absent. laughs>
Exactly. And Flippo is season one Tom in a very sensible sweater and some glasses and a furrowed brow.
And what you can't see is a
Ford
Mustang.
You got to have the Warby Parkers.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. So he's doing it. So thanks for coming on. Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Thanks for being on.
Here. Joining us.
Yeah, that's it.
Thanks for being you.
Your recap was great and funny as usual. But tell me, give me your thoughts on this episode. How'd you feel about it? Because we haven't even gotten to, which we have to get to, is our girlfriend, Mr. Kaplan, which we'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
But what did you... Actually, let's start there. What are your Mr. Kaplan takes? Give me some hot takes on Mr. Kaplan.
Well, I think my takes on Mr. Kaplan kind of go along with my take on the whole episode, which was that I really liked it, but I almost wish that it had been more focused on the Aram storyline, which I thought was really strong and fun and interesting and kind of different than what's been going on this season. But I kept getting kind of a little distracted by this sort of game that Red and Liz were playing where, you know, they pretend to have these fights and then they pretend to do these things, but then they say they pretended to do it, but then Liz leans over to Wrestler and says, I'm in every word of it. And then they pretend to do something, and then she leans over to Cooper and says, I'm in every word of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I felt, while I kind of enjoyed that she was, you know, being, like, really annoying and petulant, and then you would find out that it was kind of not real. I did think that was fun, but it also didn't really move the relationship of where Red and Lizzie stand along very much, whereas the Aram stuff really moved forward quickly, and I thought that was a really fun reveal and just, like, made the episode really fun to watch. And then that goes along with the Kaplan stuff, which is that I'm always interested in it. I'm dying to know what's going on, but I'm also ready to not get it in 15-second increments.
Exactly.
Put throughout the show. Yeah. Episodes in a row.
It's starting to feel a little manipulative at this point. You know, like, you know, they give us a little bit and they kind of, you know, it's a little snippet each time. I don't know. I don't like that way, the way they're telling that story. You kind of want to either get to it or not get to it. And back to what you're saying about the whole Lizzie, you know, I'm in on it, I'm out on it, I'm in on it. It feels like that's kind of a way for the writer's room to have it both ways. I mean, they're kind of still having Lizzie be true to her Lizzie self, which is like, I don't believe anything.
Sure.
And then also servicing people like us who are like, you know, come on, Lizzie, you're smarter than that. So kind of like they're able to have it both ways. And then my last thought on your take about not advancing the relationship, you know, from my point of view, they haven't advanced a Lizzie-Red relationship in frickin' 4 seasons.
I think
that thing's stuck in,
I,
like,
think they're terrified.
Red going, like, Lizzie, you have to trust me, and Lizzie going, I don't trust you.
I think that the show is terrified of bringing any true conclusion to that relationship, any true clarity, because I think they're scared to death that one of two things will happen. A, enough people will be like, well, if he's not her dad, what the sweet fuck is happening? Why is this creepy now? And then the other half of people going that are in just because they're not sure what's going on. I think the show is scared that if they actually bring it all down, like, this is exactly what this is, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, well, done.
Yeah.
I think they're scared of that.
Yeah, I think the wishy-washiness of Liz's character often seems like it is a reflection of sort of the wishy-washiness in perhaps the writer's room of, not quite wanting, definitely not wanting to commit to something before they're sort of ready for that big reveal. But as a viewer, I'm happy when she's furious with him, and I'm happy when she is, like, all on board with him. It's when she's doing this sort of middle game where she'll, you know, fluctuate from the beginning of the episode to then the end of this episode, you know, being mad at him, and then at the end of the episode sort of, like, inviting him into the, you know, creepy warehouse nursery that he has arranged for her.
Sure.
That's where I get... That's where I really get frustrated with her character.
Of course.
I really liked, like, when they were on the run together and they were partners.
Yeah.
That's fun. And it's even fun when she is really frustrated with him. But the middle road is where it feels a little obvious.
You know, I feel like they write her almost like she's a teenager. I feel like they write her like
definitely.
She,
without a doubt.
And that, to me, like, I've got one. They're a pain in the ass. And so, to me, I feel like, you're a grown-ass woman. This your character is, but they write her like such a petulant teenager.
Sorry, Soph.
Honest to God. And so it's like, I associate, that's why I get so mad sometimes, I think. Maybe that's it. It's because they write her like she's like 16 and, F you, Dad. Oh, I love you, Dad. F you, Dad. And then I get so mad.
I want to do a couple things. I have some folks online are saying hello to you, Jody, and they also maybe want to ask you a question or two, which we will, of course, allow. But I wanted to ask you about... I want to go back to the Mr. Kaplan thing. I think it's clear that this is not... Now this guy's not in league with anybody in Red's universe.
No,
this is
just a
random absolutely guy. And I think it's also bizarre because they talk about this land being a pristine land, yet this guy's got wired and cameras, and he's a tracker.
Yeah.
I was all in. Here's where I'm sitting on this now. I was all in the fact that, like, on the mystery of, oh, Kaplan's not dead, or, oh, and who's this guy? And he's got her chained up. And now that it's just some wacky tracker dude, I'm doing air quotes, that just has the place wired.
You know,
this
those,
is getting goofy. It's getting a little
goofy. New York trackers.
It's getting a little goofy for me. But I want some resolution, and I assume that Mr. Kaplan is smart and has dealt with a lot of people and has also disposed of a lot of people. So I feel like she'll figure out a way to dispatch of a tracker dude sooner or later. But maybe by season finale. But I don't know. How's this landing with you? Are you okay with this tracker storyline?
Well, I'm totally down for, like, creating this, you know, very creepy guy and then watching Mr. Kaplan kick his ass. Like, I am down for that build-up if that is what we're headed to. But the way that it is stretching out over these episodes, there's only so much, like, creepy man toying with a woman that I really want to watch on this show.
I'm with you.
And such a great thing about Mr. Kaplan is that she is like this kick-ass character who takes care of business. So I think emotionally it is tough to watch her be truly physically weakened to a point where she can't sort of operate at her normal level. I would say that I'm interested in the storyline, but it's kind of like TBD until I see the payoff, because if this somehow ends up tying into the larger storyline, that will be interesting, but I will not like it if it's just kind of, you know, this like toying her, teasing her along, like torturing her.
Yeah, like an Eli Roth
movie. Not, that's nothing new. That's nothing novel.
Yeah, but I mean, could it be like, what do you guys think? Could it be like a test? Like Red set the whole thing up to see if she'll... What? Like
I don't know.
That's
about
a flailing
that
about
whatever. No, that guy's weird.
He's
like
not on his own.
Her or something.
I'm already out on it. Enga Sahopuraya Saha from India has a question for you. I hope I said that even remotely right.
I don't
probably
think
not.
Probably not. What? I like to see you pronounce that, Joe. Go right now.
Oh,
go.
I'm not going to try.
All right, thank you. What's your take on Cooper's relationship with Red? And she wants to know, what do you think about the conversation between, him and Red, you know? And I'll add to that, we're getting a little more into the post office world. It's a weird thing that we've established that Liz is actually full-time back as a consultant, mm-hmm. which I didn't realize that happened because, you know, she's there consulting full-time and Cooper's like, do your job. And it's still the boss. The post office seems to be really, really super cozy with Red, and Panabaker's involved.
Yeah.
In regards to the relationship with that conversation between Red and Harold, I was very satisfied. You know, we've debated this a lot, what the blacklist actually is.
Right.
I was very satisfied to know that it is actually fluid, the way that we've been talking about where he says Alexander Kirk was never supposed to be on the list.
Yeah.
He was never supposed to even be there until
he made your list.
Entered into this world.
Yeah, that's a good piece of exposition to help explain one of the more ridiculous things about the title of the show.
Yes.
What do you think of that relationship, Jody, or that kind of conversation?
I really loved that conversation between them. I mean, I just thought it was kind of like this burst of warmness emotionally in a very like episode where, you know, everyone was like double crossing a double crosser, and that seemed like sort of a genuine connection between the two of them, where we actually heard Red sort of express his feelings that he never thought it would end up that way. And it really, what, you know, I take like quick notes of everything while I'm watching, and I read it back, and it was really like a few sentences exchanged through them, but it brought up so many questions for me, the biggest one being, if this wasn't what he was expecting when he turned himself into the FBI and came into Liz's life full time, then what was he expecting?
Exactly.
I think that's a really interesting question. Mm-hmm. And I loved that that conversation brought that up.
Yeah, I did too. You know, Maricele Sierra wants to know, what do you think Tom and Lizzie are going to do now? Before getting kidnapped by Kirk, they were done dealing with Red and the Blacklist. What do you think they'll do now? I mean, it seems like they're kind of, they're not having Liz's protection. We still got to get to the Blacklist colon redemption somehow. So what do you think is going to happen?
Besides getting their own place.
Oh, and by the way, to your other point about, like,
I rent my own apartment.
Lizzie does invite Red over, you know, like, you come over and see the baby, only to tell you, I never want to see you again. Oh, and by the way, I don't need you anymore, but come on over.
But I loved his response, which was kind of like, I know. Problem. Like, no here. You know, if she is the teenager, then I think that, like Joe said, then I think that he is always kind of, like, testing out his different parenting tactics. Like, is it going to be reverse psychology this time? Is it going to be the straightforward truth?
Exactly.
I don't know where they're going. I mean, I guess first step, get an apartment on Craigslist.
Yep.
Second step, find out how Tom's going to get his spinoff.
Yep.
Uh-huh. I think that, like, there's danger headed there in that relationship. I mean, obviously that is influenced by the knowledge that Tom is about to go off on his own show, but I don't know. I think that this, her really believing that Kirk is her father, and not just believing it, he may really be her father, but, like, being so emotionally invested in the idea of having a father, I think that that is going to really affect the relationships with the other men who have been in her life much longer.
Yeah. Telly Bondage wants to know, why was Kirk not on the Reds list in the first place? And last week's file from the pattern in the office titled Blood. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Translate that for me, Joe. So
maybe in Kirk's file that they got from the Kremlin. A file labeled Blood?
Yes, I'm assuming so. Anyway, I don't know. I feel like that Kirk should have been in the Blacklist in the first place. They kind of explained that. We kind of touched on that. Like, Cooper should have said, you know, why did he make it onto your list, or why wasn't he on your list? And I think they they addressed that, right?
Well, I don't think he ever wanted him to come back into Lizzie's life. Right. But yes, I agree with you completely, Jody. Like, it raises all the questions of why he turned himself in, what the whole point of this is in the first place. We've sort of lost sight of that
If he's not telling her the truth, even though he says he never lies to her, he's also not telling her the truth, which is kind of like the irony of constantly saying that. What is the point?
To what end?
Where's he going with this?
I did like...
We've lost sight of that because it's always like, is he her dad? Who's her dad? Who's her family? We've lost sight of why he came back in the first place.
I mean, I did like the little double... I mean, although we saw it coming a mile away, they're opening the one door, and you know they're going to come in the right door. Like, Red was not walking into a trap. I did kind of like that sort of double switch there. But, after all of this... Well, first of all, the question is, did my girlfriend, what's her name, the henchwoman, is she dead? Did she get out of there?
Are you talking about Lil' Kim meets...
Do you mean Oran's
Odell.
Girlfriend?
Odell. Or
Odette.
Odette, yeah. Odette.
I think she stayed back.
She dead?
I don't think she's a fighter.
Yeah, I don't think she was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. I can't remember if she was on the roof somehow, but okay.
No, she did. When she called Elise, she did say, you know, your client is about to expose himself. Okay. So I think she was back in Romania or wherever they were.
All right, she would be kicked. I don't want her to die. Anyway, so they go in this thrown place.
She doesn't look like the fighting type.
Kirk's on the roof Kirk's on the roof with the baby. And, like, he's theoretically willing to jump with the baby. Like, this makes no sense to me. Like, after all of that, and then he kind of steps down after a plea from his daughter, or who he thinks is his daughter, hands over the baby. And then I don't understand what Kirk's end game was if he jumped. I don't understand his end game in being caught. I don't understand why Red didn't just cap him right then and there.
Well, because if he capped him, then he would have gone over with Spagnus.
No. I'm talking about once he stepped down and handed the baby over. Then Red's move should have been black.
Can you imagine what his relationship with Lizzie would be at, like, after dead. That?
I don't know. What did you think of that whole exchange, Jody?
You know, I think one reason I couldn't fully get totally on board with just, like, loving this episode is that it became very clear, even though it was already clear. I think the back and forth between Red and Liz and Kirk in this episode, it became very clear that this is an argument, a battle between two men who hate each other, where they're kind of using this woman and this baby in between themselves. I mean, Kirk's whole goal, no matter what the mystery of it is, the truth of it does seem to be that he is trying to get Red out of Liz and Agnes's life, and he's willing to jump over a building with Agnes to do that. I mean, that kind of seems to be the whole point of this battle between them, is to, you know, Red wants Kirk out of Liz's life, Kirk wants Red out of Liz's life. And that is kind of frustrating, to have Liz have so little autonomy over what these two men, it's just, you know, it's just kind of a battle of egos. And I think that became very evident in his sort of very dramatic statement, you know, so dramatic.
It just felt...
It really seemed like they were aiming to show that he really would do it.
Yeah, and it felt a little clunky. That part of the episode that I loved a lot, this is the part that felt a little clunky. Him on the roof. I'll do it! That felt a little clunky to me, but...
Well, you know, it's interesting to look at it, and I just don't quite understand what the show was going for. I mean, we get caught up in the mechanism every week of what's going on, but like, what are we ultimately doing? If we're doing,
we're having just, fun, Flippo, we're having fun.
I know, but if we're doing Kirk versus Red over Liz, then we're doing stepdad versus real dad over kid, writ large, right? Is that would that be the idea? Like every stepdad versus real dad argument that has ever happened exploded into like all kinds of money and mercenaries
I'll take it one step further. Here's the problem that I have, and we kind of got to wrap up pretty soon. But the fundamental problem I'm having is, okay, so we're at the midway point almost. Not the midway point. We're almost at the midway point. But
87 episodes per season.
The questions I have are, okay, well, is Spagnus just going to be chilling the show? Can Spagnus survive on this show? Like, is it just like Spagnus is going to be at home while Lizzie's off solving crimes with the nanny? Is Lizzie going to be at home? I mean, we know Tom's going. Can Spagnus survive? I mean, you know, Claire's baby survived on Homeland and grew up and is around, so I guess that's something. But can Spagnus survive as a dramatic, you know, mechanism? Number one. Number two, I felt like, oh, okay, finally this is resolved with the whole Kirk and Red, and it's kind of resolved. It's actually not resolved. Kirk's in your favorite, you know, hermetically sealed chamber.
He is.
Odette is out there, clearly coming to rescue him, like Ansel Garrick style. Clearly coming to rescue him. Gonna get out. It's not resolved. Who's the father? Who's this? Like, we got like 10 more episodes of this. Kaplan's in the woods. Like, where are we going? I don't know, Jody. How do you feel right now in where we are in episode 6?
Well, I'm pretty excited now. I mean, I think like maybe the last 3 episodes have really been set up episodes, and the Blacklist does this every season, you know, and for the mid-season finale, you know, great intro, kind of like a few middling episodes where they set it up for the big answers, because that is what we're looking for. Like, that is what we're doing with Red and Kirk, whether they're going to be so obvious about it or not. That's what we're doing. We're looking for answers. And Liz, like, as frustrating as she can be sometimes, she is the audience surrogate. And that's why I have empathy for her, because you understand why she gets frustrated, like the way that we get frustrated with what's happening. She's frustrated with what's happening as well, because she just wants answers, and she's willing to believe anything anyone tells her to get those answers. And so I'm excited for the next 2 episodes, because we got the guy trapped in a box. Like, the answers, some answers are coming about what he wants.
I'm just happy
to find that out.
Me too. I'm just happy that the production didn't waste any money on that goddamn box. The box wasn't a one-off. It's like, we built this motherfucker for the pilot. We're going to bring it back for Ansel Garrick. Two-parter.
You know,
we're going to bring it back. And like every episode, like, how can we get the box?
You know,
in there?
Every 3 weeks.
The box is just sitting there on stage 25.
Somebody walks in like, you guys better use that fucking box. I'm not playing. That box costs $40,000. Put somebody in the fucking
box. That box was a splurge item, and we are going to.
We're going to use this box. All right.
I got a $10,000 bonus for whoever can write somebody into the goddamn box.
We
got
to get out of here. Let's get to predictions right now.
How
about a drop first, Joe? Let's get to predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
That was bad. Now you can talk.
All right. I predict By the way, I like his girl. What's her name? Little Kim meets Kim Kardashian.
Odette.
I like her a lot. She's badass.
Little Kim Kardashian?
Little Kim. Little Kim Kardashian. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Except she looks nothing like either of them, but it's okay.
But it's like, it seems like if they mash together, it'd be her. I predict that Kirk is where he wants to be, somehow or another. I predict that Kirk wanted to be in the box. What's in the box? It's Kirk, and he wanted to be in the box.
It's Kirk in the box!
I think he wanted to be there. That's what I think.
Fair enough.
I don't know why, but I think so.
Julia?
I predict that Lizzie's going to go out of her way to save Kirk, maybe offering herself, or even out of desperation, Spagnus, which will prompt Tom maybe to leave.
That's our friend from Italy, from India. It's her prediction as well.
Oh, they say it? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. She just said that,
I wrote it down. I didn't steal it. I promise. All
right. Yeah, she said that there's bone marrow, that Liz is going to give him some bone marrow. Jody,
there it is.
What do you think? Remember, Sally also said your review with the box was hilarious, by the way. Oh, next week's promo. I never see next week's promo. I never see the promos. Anyway, what are your predictions, Jody?
I always forget about this prediction segment.
It's
never
terrifying,
prepared.
Isn't it?
predictions are not my specialty, but I think with like Lizzie's mention of her memories being the proof of, you know, Kirk being her father, as well as the one sheet of paper called a DNA result that she found, I think that she is going to maybe, like Julia said, kind of go out of her way to do something good for Kirk. And then I think she's going to recover some more memories that are going to make her regret that decision.
Got it. Okay. I love it. My prediction is that I feel like that there has to be an outside agent that's going to come here in here and disrupt this whole thing. I think that outside agent may be Scotty. I think that, you know, I think something's going to happen where Scotty's going to come in with some new information and disrupt the whole sort of Lizzie Tom sort of love nest. The love nest is not going to get disrupted by anything we see now. It's going to be an outside agent. I think it has to be Scotty or some information that Scotty has. That's my prediction. I think that's it for us. Kirk goes savage in a promo. I gotta watch a promo.
Yeah,
I have no promos. We're screeners.
Yeah, I don't usually watch the promos either.
Red offers to save Kirk and Tom kills him. Ooh.
Oh.
Tom kills Kirk.
Some interesting predictions. We gotta get out of here. Jody, where can the people find you and your lovely column and other stuff you do?
You can find me at @BJodyWalker on Twitter and writing all over the internet.
Lovely. And Joe Flippo, where can the kids find you?
You find me on the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo.
Or should I say Tom Keen?
I don't want to wait.
Jody, I guess we're going to say bye to you now because we're going to get out of here. But thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us every time. And you're lovely. And your columns are fantastic. And check it out. Her recaps every week on EW.com, The Blacklist. They're fantastic if you don't already know about them. Thanks, Jody. We'll hopefully see you next week or soon.
Thanks, Jody.
Bye, Jody. Thanks
so much, guys. Talk soon.
Sure. And where can we find you,
Jody? You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and kind of a little bit on Snapchat. I'm getting better with my name, Julia Carely, JuliaCarely.
You can find me on Snapchat at JKBraz and on Instagram at JoeKBrazwell and on Twitter at JoeKBrazwell. And Snapchat tonight, I'm going to snap away.
Oh.
Are you?
Tonight.
No, I'm not. I'm kidding. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you very soon. Thank you for joining us. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.